This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Herbert Burke of Immaculate Conception Church of Forest City, North Carolina.
As we celebrate the feast of the Solemnity of the Mother of God, the idea is we begin the new year turning to our Blessed Mother under one of the most ancient titles that we have. Now, the letter from the bishop speaks about how the diocese is going to be dedicated to the Blessed Mother under that title. And you know, every time we say the Hail Mary prayer, we use that title, Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Now, a lot of times fundamentalists will argue, and she's not the Mother of God, she didn't exist before God, she's not above God. Nobody has ever taught that's what that means. But they like to insert the most ridiculous meaning of the phrase Mother of God that they can come up with to try to make us look bad. But if they knew anything about history, they would know it's about defending the divinity of Christ against Nestorius, who was leading a heresy, saying that, you know, Mary wasn't the Mother of God, you know, that Jesus wasn't God. And the same thing with the Arian heresy, which, by the way, in case you didn't know it, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are made up of a large portion of ex-Catholics who don't know their faith, they will come to the door and knock on the door and try to tell you that Jesus isn't God. The Holy Spirit's not God. Only the Father is God. And then they're going to show you their own new version, a translation which is inaccurate from the Gospel of John, where it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. They change it to the Word was a God. It's not in the Greek. So they know the Bible goes against their teaching on Jesus in many places, but, you know, they're heretics, can I tell you? So unfortunate for them. Now, one thing I did want to mention here before I go on a little further about the Blessed Mother. Our first reading is one of the most beautiful blessings in the Bible. And it says here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In fact, we see this in the responsorial psalm. It says here, may he let his face shine upon us. Now, in the transfiguration, Jesus shines like the sun. So the idea of light emanating from the face of God is a beautiful concept. In fact, the Old Testament speaks about the bread of the presence, but the actual wording is the bread of the face of God. And so the bread that they had, that they kept in the temple, was a foreshadowing of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist that we keep in our temple in the tabernacle, the Eucharist, the living bread come down from heaven. So for centuries, the bread of the face of the presence of God in the temple was a symbol of the coming reality that the Messiah would bring. And another title for Mary, besides the Mother of God, is the Ark of the New Covenant. When does Jesus use the term covenant? This is the new covenant in my blood at the Last Supper. Where does his blood come from? Mary. Mary is his gateway into the human family. And so God has chosen that Jesus would come to us through Mary. And so in theology, in spiritual theology, we understand, you know, a phrase, to Jesus through Mary, because Jesus has given us his mother to be our mother. She's the mother of God. She's also the mother of the church, the mother of all the saved. And so in John 19, Jesus says to John, the beloved disciple, represents all of us. He says, behold your mother, and to Mary, woman, behold your son. Now that term woman is significant because we see the term woman used for Eve. It's one of her titles because she's not just a woman, she's the woman. And so in Genesis 3, we see this reference to the woman. And Jesus uses this term for his mother in John 2, and in John 19, and also John uses it in Revelation 12, a woman clothed with the sun on her head, a crown of 12 stars, because she is blessed among all women, says the Holy Spirit through Saint Elizabeth. And we say it each time we say the Hail Mary prayer. So Mary is the mother of God. She's the new Eve. She undoes what Eve did. And just as scripture, you know, using typology, typology is people, places, things, and event in the Old Testament that prefigure people, places, things, and event in the new. So scripture calls Christ the new Adam because he is undoing what the old Adam did. And Mary is the new Eve. She's undoing what the old Eve did. And so there is a reversal happening. In the beginning, the man is first, then the woman, her body is derived from the body of the man. In the reversal, we have the woman is first, and the body of Christ is derived from Mary. In the beginning, you have a husband-wife team. In the redemption of the world with the new Adam and the new Eve, you have a mother-son team. And so Mary is the mother of God. She's the ark of the new covenant. And keep in mind, what was in the old covenant was the manna that fell from heaven, which Jesus uses using typology. In John chapter 6, he says, your fathers ate the bread that fell from heaven in the desert, but I will give you the true bread from heaven, which gives life, the bread of life. And so Jesus talks about this symbol of the Eucharist, of the bread from heaven that fell in the desert. It even says in scripture, talks about men ate the bread of angels. So, but the true bread of angels is, of course, the Eucharist. These things foreshadowed it. So inside the Ark of the Covenant was the Word of God in stone, and in the Ark of the New Covenant, Mary, because the Ark of the Covenant was a container for the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, a symbol for his priesthood and his power, and it had the manna. Those are the three things in there. So in the body of Mary, who is the Ark of the New Covenant, we have the Word of God in flesh. The Gospel of John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so within Mary, for 9 months, she makes the longest holy hour in the history of the world. She has the body of Christ, the living bread within her. And of course, Christ, the one true priest. Because all of the other priests, you know, were symbols. A priest is a bridge between God and man. A priest makes a sacrifice in atonement. But the Old Testament priest could not make the true atonement. Only Christ, the one true priest of God, makes the atonement on the cross. And he's in the what we call the order of Melchizedek. Scripture says in Hebrews, you know, he's a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Who is he? It is obscure mention. The first time the word priest is used in Genesis is this priest king, the king of Salem, which would later be Jerusalem. What does it say on the cross? The king of the Jews. So Christ is the king of kings, and he's also a priest. So he's a priest king. What does he offer? In the book of Genesis, it says he sacrifices or offers bread and wine. What does Jesus do with the Last Supper? He offers bread and wine and sacrifice, which connects to Calvary and the cross. So we see all these powerful connections. So if that wasn't enough that the church fathers called Mary the Ark of the New Covenant, we see at the end of chapter 11 in the book of Revelation, the Ark of God's covenant could be seen in the heavens. You're like, wow, Indiana Jones been running around looking for that thing all over Earth and it's up in the heavens? What's going on? He missed the boat. He should have got a rocket ship to go get the Ark of the Covenant. But the next line that comes after it says the Ark of the Covenant can be seen in heaven at the end of chapter 11, the next line of the book Revelation chapter 12 verse 1, then a great sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she gives birth to a child who will rule the nations. Well, gee, who could that be? You know, of course it's Christ. And so the fundamentalists, I get into these arguments all the time with them, They try to argue, no, it's a symbol for Israel. Really? Okay, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and Cardinal Newman says this in his book on the development of doctrine, which is part of the reason he converted to Catholicism. He says the argument that that cannot be Mary, it must be the church or Israel, you know, exclusively, is false, because the characters in chapter 12 are real people, real persons. You've got the dragon, which is clearly Satan. And there's another connection, because it's the only place in the Bible that the serpent is identified as the devil. You read in Genesis 3, it talks about the serpent. We know it's who it is, but it never says it. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, when it's talking about the woman clothed the sun, it talks about the ancient serpent, who is Satan and the devil. And remember, in Genesis, God says, I will make you and the woman enemies, and her offspring and your offspring. He will crush your head. You want to kill a snake? You hit him in the head with a shovel. That's how you do it. You hit him in the tail, you're just going to aggravate him. He'll probably bite you. So her offspring, which is Christ, and who's the offspring of the devil? Well, it would be the unsaved, the damned. What does the scripture talk about? The wheat and the weeds. So the weeds are the people that aren't saved. What else does Matthew 25 say? He will separate them like sheep from goats. So we want to be the wheat and the sheep. So the wheat points to the Eucharist. The weeds points to the evil things of this world. So we don't want to wind up weeds and goats. We want to be sheep and we want to be wheat. Both symbols clearly used in scripture for the saved. So as we understand these different titles, so we have Mary the Mother of God, Mary the New Eve, Mary the Ark of the New Covenant. What else do we have? We talk about her being the Queen of Heaven, right? Revelation 12, this woman who's in the heavens, she's clothed with a crown of 12 stars. You know, which points to the fullness of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, the connection with Israel, the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes. And so what kind of woman, you know, has a crown? A queen. And so the other typology that we see in scripture, which helps us to understand Mary, is the scripture talks about Christ. One of the first sentences in the New Testament talks about Christ as the Son of David. Well, who was the Son of David? Because we know that Jesus is the great, 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 whatever, grandson of King David. But who was the immediate king, Son of David, who is a type or a symbol and typology of Christ? King Solomon. He's the one that built the temple. He's the one with the great wisdom. And so who was his queen? It wasn't his wife, it was his mother. And so when she comes in, he bows down to his mother and he gets a seat at his right, it says in scripture. So King Solomon's queen, which is his mother, the queen mother of Israel, sits at his right in his kingdom. And she comes with a request. She says, I bring a request to you, my son. And he says, ask whatever you wish, mother. I will never refuse you. Isn't that wonderful? I will never refuse you. The power of the prayers of Mary, foreshadowed with Queen Bathsheba. What else do we see? Jesus' first miracle is worked through Mary's intercession. In John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine at her request, which of course points to the two sacraments of the church, baptism and the Eucharist. What flowed, you know, from the side of Christ when he was on the cross? Water and blood, which is the birth of the church. The bride of the Lamb is the church. And so just as Adam was put into a deep sleep by God in Genesis, and then from his side came his wife Eve, Christ is in the sleep of death on the cross, and from his side flowed blood and water, pointing to the two sacraments, the primary sacraments, giving birth and nourishment to his bride, the church. Baptism with the water and the precious blood pointing to the Eucharist. So as we begin the new year, New Year's Eve today, and we look forward to the beginning, we recognize Mary as the mother of God because she gave birth to the whole Christ. And so she didn't just give birth to the body. She's not just the body of the man. Within the body was his soul. So she gave birth to the whole Christ, fully God, fully man. And she is truly his mother. Doesn't mean that she existed before God, that she's above God or better than God or any of that nonsense that fundamentalists try to read into it. It's about preserving the church's definition of the divinity of Christ, because Mary is the mother of God, which means Jesus is God and man, despite the Jehovah's Witnesses who will knock on your door and try to say otherwise. And so if you look at John 19, Jesus gives us his mother to be our mother as his last will and testament as he's dying on the cross. And if you look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, we see the dragon is enraged at the woman's escape. How does she escape him? She never sins, the Immaculate Conception, another title for Mary. And the next line, after we see the devil is angry because the woman escapes him, because God put that enmity between the woman and the serpent, what's the next line? It says, the devil goes to make war against the rest of her children. Who's that? It tells us, those who keep the commandments of God and give witness to Jesus. The church, we are her children. It's very clear in Revelation 12, verse 17, despite what the fundamentalists may want to say or try to make the scripture say, because what does the serpent want to do? The serpent does not want us to be aware of the power of Mary's intercession and that God chose her to be our ultimate prayer partner in heaven. What is the prayer of the miraculous medal? O Mary, conceived without sin. That's the Immaculate Conception. What does it do for us? The next line, pray for us who turn to you or have recourse to you. So Mary is conceived without sin to be the mother of God, but she's also conceived without sin to give us powerful prayers from heaven, because she's our mother and she loves us, and she will pray for us and with us whenever we say the Hail Mary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.